You're listening to Randall Wallace Presents, formerly Bridging the Political Gap, the number one American history podcast of 2024 by Feedspot.com. Hi, everyone. This is Randall Wallace, your host for this podcast, and I thought we'd treat you to a little glimpse into our 1992 season coming up and also honor Joe Lieberman, who passed away in March. This is a clip courtesy of PBS that features some giants in the journalism world: Mark Shields, David Gergen, Jim Lehrer, Mr. McNeil, the McNeil-Lehrer News Hour, and Joe Lieberman will sit in with them as Bill Clinton comes into the hall of the Democratic National Convention after he's been nominated and won the nomination, but before the night before, of course, he would accept that nomination, and he also had announced Al Gore earlier in the day. So this is a really interesting few minutes from the 1992 Democratic National Convention, featuring Senator Joe Lieberman as a guest commentator amongst all those there on the PBS coverage of the Democratic National Convention. So you get a little sneak peek into what's coming next season in 1992 when we get to the 1992 election. And of course, you'll hear Bill Clinton as well.
Selection of Al Gore as a running mate, of course, was a defensive play as much as anything else because of this. If you knowing what was coming and who was out there, of course, is Hillary Clinton and Chelsea, their 12-year-old daughter, and there's the governor.
What a night for Chelsea, who has been very protected from public exposure by her parents, who Mrs. Clinton particularly expressing concern that too much exposure would really affect her upbringing. And this is only about her third or fourth real public appearance. What a night.
Absolutely.
For her.
One of the more fascinating things about the Clinton relationship with her daughter is, you know, on the campaign plane, she sometimes faxes to him her homework. And he works on it and sends back responses from the campaign plane, which I think has been really nice. He has tried very... Hillary and Bill Clinton very much love this part. This is a very special relationship for them. And I think that they care a great deal about her. And they've always... Their whole political life in the last few years has been built around where how does Chelsea fit into it.
Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut is back with us from the skybox with us earlier, and he's back. Senator, we've just been talking about where Governor Clinton may be vulnerable to Republican attacks. How do you expect this campaign to be conducted? At what plane, I should say?
Well, I'm afraid that because the argument for change is so strong, and because the Republicans do not have a good economy going for them, that it's going to get down and dirty. But I think Mario Cuomo made such a devastating argument tonight about the Republican economic policy and the way in which it's affected not only the poor but the vast middle class of this country, that it's going to be hard to distract the public from that. I think the country is moving toward a decision in the last couple of weeks that it's for Bill Clinton, and the Republicans are going to have a much harder time than they did in 1988, both because of the platform, the ticket, but also because times were pretty good then, and they could take people's minds off of the main event and onto some side issues. It's going to be very hard to do that this year, I'm convinced. So I expect a lot of garbage to be thrown. I expect people to, the Republicans, to try to focus the public on side issues. But the key issue is that they've failed to produce prosperity. And that's the excitement in the hall here tonight, not only that he's been nominated, but that the national momentum is heading in his direction.
It's a very rare candidate candidate's eye view of going under the podium. Yeah, oh, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful piece of camera work.
Were you able to see that, Senator?
I did not see
that. Well, we're watching a shot here of...
yes, and I can see
it. Yeah, Governor Clinton. What Governor Clinton is now seeing. He's going to go through this door.
Right.
And the place is probably going to come unglued.
Yeah, it's a thrilling moment. I just got to say, for me, in 1970, I was running for my first ever political office, state senator from New Haven. And a kid from Yale Law School by the name of Clinton came in.
There we are, Senator.
Well, it's thrilling for me to see that movement from campaign volunteer to what I believe is the next president of the United States. Special moment.
So he's not going, at least at the moment, onto the podium. He's down on the floor.
Well, to shake hands with his mother, to the Arkansas delegation, talk to his mother.
Who was the first to utter any votes for him, to announce any votes for him.
That was the one deviation.
One,
was,
yes.
They went from Alabama to Arkansas and then back to Alabama. I was reading that earlier this week, not before last, we had the two... senators from Arkansas, Senators Bumpers and Pryor on, and they were both, you did the interview, Robin, they were both old colleagues and friends of Bill Clinton, and I remember when Clinton first announced he was going to run for president, I ran into one of those two senators, and I said, can this be serious? And he said, you just wait. This man is going to win the Democratic nomination. You remember, Paul Tsongas, we talked earlier, a year ago, he was the first one to really come out. But even when Bill Clinton first announced, even though we had a lot of the courthouse politicians and people with him, he wasn't considered to be the front runner right at the very beginning because they always thought Cuomo and the other ones were going to come in. He was second level, and nobody came, and then he suddenly became the front runner.
Yeah, I'm told, Jim, that in a moment Chairman Brown is going to introduce Governor Clinton from the podium, and perhaps a lot of people at the convention aren't totally aware that he's there yet. It's such a vast place, and there isn't any particular spotlight on him. Senator Lieberman, can you all see that he's there, or is it too small and too far away?
No, they're projecting, they've got him on camera, they're projecting his picture up on the big screen in front, so I think people here are excited because they know he's here.
You're acting as our reporter there now, Senator.
Well,
describe the scene.
Joe Lieberman's all newsman.
Yeah, I don't know if Gergen has revealed that he was my managing editor when I was a young reporter trying out...
On the Yale Daily News. Yes, I just saw Gergen's picture there the other day.
He's walking through the Kansas delegation there. There's Congressman Wolpe and Congressman Dan Glickman and Congressman Slattery from Kansas. Congressman Wolpe is from Michigan.
Yes, he is.
Which is up on the floor. Thank you, Mark.
What is your answer, Mark, to the question I asked David earlier of how much baggage or how many scars and wounds does nobody comes through a battle for a nomination totally unscathed? How scathed is he, and how free of compromises and deals and things?
On the latter score, he's in great shape. I mean, he won the nomination early. He won it overwhelmingly. Without any public or embarrassing contacts or covenants with the forces. They can't say that any particular interest group delivered it to them. On the first part, I think the jury's out. It is the vote for president.
There's Dale Bumpers, the man we were talking about, Senator from Arkansas.
That's right.
Who also was preceded... preceded the governor as governor of Arkansas.
One of the reasons that Bill Clinton ran for president is because Dale Bumpers was there in the Senate.
And Pryor was there in the Senate. Those guys weren't leading.
Yeah, he thought of running.
He thought of running.
He looked at who the two senators were. And,
that's right. Yeah. And Bill Bunker, very popular.
Dale Bunker almost ran for president himself.
That's good.
And then back on.
There's something in the water down there because you've got David Pryor's in the three-man in the Senate leadership. Dale Bunker is a national leader.
Well, but we're all terrific speakers.
Yeah,
Bill, great stories.
Bill Fulbright for many years.
Bill Fulbright.
Bill Clinton has said on many occasions, you know, when you elect a senator from the South, you tend to elect him for life, and you elect a governor. It's a short-term proposition, and that's why his stay in the Senate and in the governorship for so long has been so remarkable. This is very, very unusual for a man to serve as long as he has, be reelected somebody kind of the South for a governorship.
Dan Nunn, Senator from Georgia, was described Bill Clinton as the only man who'd been a rising young star in three different decades. 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Right.
And this is
still 45 years old.
That's right.
Going back to the moment when, as a leader in the young nation, he had his picture taken shaking hands with John Kennedy at the age of 16.
Exactly. That looks like a Republican defense. Is that like Star Wars?
This is a silver spoiler.
That's right.
First Lady of the United States, Hillary Clinton! Acceptance tonight, but 32 years ago, another young candidate who wanted to get this country moving again came to the convention to say a simple thank you. And so, I want to thank Dave McCurdy and Maxine Waters and magnificent Mario Cuomo for putting my name and all this up tonight. I want to thank you all for being here and loving your country and to tell you that tomorrow night I will be the comeback kid. Good night.
They need, for the record, to finish the roll call here. Even if they were going to make a move, motion to make it unanimous, they still have formally to record the votes of the remaining states, don't they, before they can...
I think that's true. I don't honestly know. That's interesting, Mark, the point that Governor Clinton just made, that none of us remembered that John F. Kennedy did this similar thing in Los Angeles in 1960.
I
didn't
know. I don't remember.
I don't remember them doing that at all.
I'm sure they've thoroughly researched it, and I'm sure that the any evocative analogy or comparisons are more than welcome by the Clinton campaign.
A few weeks ago, Jim, Bill Clinton began reading, going back over the acceptance addresses of various candidates, including Jack Kennedy's. He's been doing that in preparation for his speech tomorrow night.
Let's talk about that for a moment, his speech tomorrow night. What has he got to do? What must he do? Let's put it that way. In that speech, Mark,
what he has to do, in my judgment, is he has to take his life experience only as values, not to go through a biographical sketch of where he came from, but to explain who Bill Clinton is, what he cares about, what he intends to fight for, that naturally flows from his life. And as the son of a single mother, the importance of education, that he had that, he wants those opportunities for him. I think that's the way it has to come. Then he can tell you both his mission, his public mission as he sees it, and how he got there, the values that move him, and really to put him into the...
He himself added in our interview earlier that what he he will do, but also what the American people need to do, he made as a...
I thought his answers to you on those kind of question of what the relevance, you asked him what the relevance was of his hardship growing up, what the relevance of that was to his being President of the United States, and I thought that his answers to that were very good. What did you think, David?
I think we heard the first echo of that tonight, actually, from Mario Cuomo. It was a line in Cuomo's speech that said, all his life, Bill Clinton has worked to relieve other people's discomfort because he remembers his own struggle. This is a theme that's very important to Clinton. I think they want to show the authenticity of his personal character.
Also, it's a way of making a very strong, at least a political capital out of their allegation that George Bush is indifferent to them.
But because he came from modest upbringing and on his own, because he's had to struggle and now wants to work with others, that shows a sort of continuity in his life, which is very important for them to make people understand that, so that whatever the personal indiscretions may have been, there's something very authentic at the core of Bill Clinton.
Let me ask Senator Lieberman, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
What do you think of that? What do you think the relevance of that is? Will that resonate in Connecticut?
Yes, it will. I think that tomorrow night Bill Clinton is going to be facing a receptive audience, and I don't mean just the one in the hall. I think people around the country are giving him a second look. We're obviously seeing it in the polls. Even though I think it goes beyond the support he's getting in the polls to a lot of people who, particularly people who committed to Ross Perot and now are beginning to loosen up a little bit on that commitment. And they want to know who he is, and the personal experience is going to be very important. They want to know that a couple of things. One is they want to know what his values are, what his life experience is, about whether he's going to feel the anxiety that they're going through now, because they know that President Bush, for one, for too long seemed to not acknowledge, didn't know, didn't understand that people were losing jobs. And secondly, they want to know that he has some capacity and plan to do something about it. So I think this is a magnificent moment of opportunity for him. Everything is moving in the right direction, but this is his chance, with people giving him a second chance, to reach out and tell them that he's a lot like them.
Thank you for listening to Bridging the Political Gap. If you've liked what you've heard, please share it. And we would love to hear from you and your thoughts on our show. So if you'd like to, please leave a review wherever you get your podcast. And until next time, thanks again, and so long for now.